Good afternoon, Planetoid Earth. It's your good friend Dan in Scompton, Utah. I just sojourn here among the kettleweed, among the fructus roast, among the elk and cougar. It's Sunday, Easter Sunday, April the 9th, 2023. And if no one said this to you, I'll say it again. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. The stone is rolled away. Stones rolled away. I made a poster. It's in the notes. I'll probably, if I can remember it, include a link in an email I send out. I have a menu item under About on the blog planetarystatusreport.com. I'm going to drink some coffee here. Before I go too far, just once again, it's just around 4:43 p.m. on a Sunday here, April the 9th, 2023. Of course, this is Utah time, Scompton time. Anywho, I made this poster. It's a letter-sized poster. If you go to the About menu and you see under About, you see Post These. There's a bunch of posters there that can all print the letter size. You click on the image. There's a PDF. If you feel so interested in taking advantage of that color printer at work, Scrombo. But Dan, if they found out, they'd set fire to my brand new Tesla. Dan, if they found out, they'd steal my children. They would hunt me. They'd feed me to my wife. Yeah, whatever. You do it or don't do it. You know, people will say to me, if I don't have money to donate, what else can I do? Well, you can take, you know, links to the Spotify podcasts you like and forward them to people you think would like them using email. That doesn't cost you anything except for your reputation, I guess. And if you wanted to, even take it a step further, you could print out 50 of these posters. It's up to you. I mean, I would definitely not go to the poster archive. You know, either take a poster off the link I mentioned or go to About and post these. The ones in the archive, they have domains that point to websites that don't exist any longer in a lot of cases because GoDaddy sucks and they ripped off my blog about a year ago. I don't like them. Fuck them. And that's enough said there. You can do it or not do it. That's up to you, bros and hoes. So recently, to include the quote-unquote arrest of Donald Trump, which in terms of the high pathetic theater of the melodrama, it sort of is writ large at this point, the arrest of Donald Trump. It's bizarre. But whether it's the arrest of Donald Trump or the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light saga or the constant fear-mongering of robots and AI or the other just intermittent, just sort of out of the flotsam and jetsam, low-rent little fear monkeys, there's a lot of these fear monkeys being tossed at us right now. A lot of these really low-rent fear monkeys, to include gun control, which, again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, about every 5 years since I've been born, people threaten to take all the guns. And if you can hear that, that's the dogs barking. But, you know, every 5 years since I've been a kid, it's been they're going to take the guns. They will steal the guns. That's the message. And as I discussed the military psychological warfare ongoing at a very high tempo since at least March of 2020, I've discussed the major operations like the COVID, like the quote-unquote race war, like the Ukraine war, to some extent is fake. I'm sorry. I don't have any evidence that it's real. I don't have any evidence that it's something that you should put any effort into being concerned about. But on the other hand, it definitely fits into the category of a gigantic fear monkey. And I've been thinking about where we're at in the game, and here's what I would say. I think Act 1 was basically the COVID and the race war. And Act 2 was the Trump-Biden trauma drama, plus, you know, January 6th thrown in there, and the Ukraine. And I think we're kind of in a brief intermission right now. To some extent, we're in kind of a holding pattern, I think. I don't know why. You know, when this all started, I proposed the theory that what they were trying to cover, to conceal, to keep hidden, was some type of fuzzy event, which means it's not an event that has a discrete date of occurrence. Like, for example, if there was a comet headed towards the Earth, an asteroid, something like that, they could probably figure out more or less the date that that asteroid or that comet would hit. But when it comes to things like, for example, geological events, or even actual climate type events, or socioeconomic events like the collapse of the US dollar, that's not something that has a precise day of it's going to happen on this day, especially when it comes to socioeconomic and historical events like the collapse of the US dollar, which I think is more or less baked into the cake at this point. But it might have a window of probability, and you might be able to make a guess within a five-year window that something that you're concerned about is going to happen with 100% certainty. I'm of the opinion that that's what they've been managing, some type of significant fuzzy event since March of 2020, and they probably pulled the trigger on this in 2019. But again, I don't know what it is. You know, I think you could more or less say with certainty that the collapse of the dollar is, yeah, it's a certainty at this point. It's going to happen. But beyond that, could it be worse? I don't know. It does feel like we're in an intermission right now a little bit. Maybe not a lot, but a little. And it does seem as if they're running out of fear monkeys. The fear monkeys are getting old and worn out. People are starting to practice their basic mathematics and figuring out that every fear monkey they're giving you is a low likelihood concern. And once you figure out that all these things don't really exist as real concerns, then the fear no longer works. And I think also that's where we're at in the game. Every day, some new stupid thing pops out of the flotsam and jetsam of the nonsense zone. And some people latch on to it because they can't help but do it. But a lot of people are starting to look at these things and say, this is bullshit. Okay? No, I'm not going to get concerned about the cops showing up at my door and knocking on it or whatever and demanding all my guns. You know, I seriously doubt that will happen at any scale. And if it did, that would more or less trigger, I think, an American Civil War. So no, you don't need to be concerned, in my opinion, about the IRS or the ATF or any institution showing up at your door, you know, the way that Alex Jones might describe it. And I also don't think you need to be too concerned about the Ukraine war, because I really do think it serves an ulterior purpose, and I don't think it's to trigger World War III. If they, like a nuclear war, if they wanted a nuclear war, if that was the plan, and I've said this before, we would have all gone to sleep in our beds in October 2019, and a lot of us would have never woken up. There would have been none of the bullshit, none of the monkey herpes COVID, none of the race war nonsense, none of that stupidity, none of this fucking theater. There would have been no fucking point. You would have gone to bed and you would have woken up. And if it were something like a comet, same thing applies. You would have gone to bed some night before the comet arrives. They wouldn't have told you. It wouldn't be like the movie Deep Impact. No one would have broke the story. And if they did break the story, somebody would have broken their neck. If it was a discrete event that they were managing, they wouldn't tell you about it. They would definitely protect themselves. And you would simply, you know, wake up one day, if you were lucky enough to wake up, and realize that the world had changed. But with a fuzzy event where they don't really know where the tipping point is, it's different. It is very different. And one of the things you don't want with a fuzzy event that is potentially catastrophic, you don't want to lose control. You don't want every highway stacked up with cars. You don't want people to panic. What you want to do is keep them under control. And I gotta say, the quote-unquote pandemic was kind of fucking brilliant. I mean, it definitely chewed up, of the five-year window, it chewed up at least 2 years. 2 years of that window was chewed up by a bullshit pandemic. And you add in the race war and the Ukraine war and a whole slew of petty nonsense, from we're going to ban abortions to we're going to hire 87,000 IRS agents. And all of a sudden, you've gotten to 5 years, more or less. But I still think that what we're in right now is the intermission. I am nearly certain that they believe the significant change, the change that will be the tipping point, is going to happen in the next 12 months. Don't know what that is. Could be the thing that triggers dollar collapse, so to speak, and that would trigger a multi-decade human catastrophe. And it could be worse. I just don't know. I can't really tell you. But let's go to the next topic, okay? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, if you want to hear it. We don't have to blow up the world to understand it. Once again, from Dr. Freckles, we don't have to blow up the world to understand it. What does that mean exactly? Well, you know, it's one of these things I've thought about over the years with respect to the pursuit of science, for example. And a lot of folks will say that science itself is an amoral discipline. Ethics doesn't apply. You're pursuing the truth. And you pursue the truth, and you pursue the truth irrespective of other concerns. And there is that definition of science. There were people during World War II working on the Manhattan Project that kind of felt that way. Yeah, they had the urgency of building the bomb before the Nazis and the Japanese, but ultimately, they also had this kind of belief in the higher value of scientific truth, you know? And it was this thing to hold up to the world and say, this is truth. However, there is a school of thought that says you need to be careful. It isn't to say you shouldn't pursue the truth or pursue science, but it's kind of like, should you do so with reckless abandon? Are there limits? Are there points at which you should say, here's as far as we should go and we'll go no further? And the reality is, with respect to this question, there's nothing you can do but say, think about it. You can't control science. You can't control human thought. People are going to experiment. People are going to discover fire. People are going to figure out ways to mind fuck each other. And then they'll start mind fucking buffalo over the cliff. And they'll figure out that trick 10 or 20,000 fucking years ago. Way before the monkey herpes, way before the bullshit race war, way before all the gender terror bullshit, drag queen horror show, Ukraine, Trump, trauma, drama bullshit, way before all this psychological crapola, humans figured out to do a lot of very dangerous fucking things. And throughout history, some of this has been called lesser magic when it comes to psychology. Some of it's been ritual. Some of it's been the work of the shaman. But then there's fire. And once we figured out how to master fire, we did a lot of damage with fire. We used that to light the torch of civilization. We slashed. We burned. We built little castles, little villages. We started getting afraid of stupid shit, so we elected kings and chieftains. It's good to experiment. Intelligent creatures do this all the time. The dogs I help take care of do this all the time. They experiment. Some of their experiments work. Some of their experiments fail. I enjoy watching them because they're funny, but I have to remind myself that at their scale, they're simply doing the same stupid shit we do. Sometimes we perform experiments that are predictable. Sometimes we end up with Deep Horizon in 2010, and we're filling the Gulf of Mexico with all kinds of gunctus from inside the earth. And whatever your opinion is on pouring crude oil into the ocean, let's just be clear on this. It wasn't expected. Okay? They did not predict that. That was a failure. It was not on purpose. It wasn't a feature. It was literally a bug, and it was a bad one. But does that mean that humans should stop trying to do things? Does that mean we shouldn't explore the universe? Something bad might happen, so let's be too afraid. And the answer to that is no. No. We can't be afraid to make mistakes. But I think we can choose to not blow up the world. I think that is a choice. If you were a scientist, let's say, working on the Large Hadron Collider in CERN in Switzerland back in 2006, Boblimpdoc, and you told somebody there was a risk of creating a singularity or a tiny black hole if you turn that goddamn thing on. And if you did turn it on, you ran the risk of disrupting the timeline going back, let's say, 100 fucking years. And people would misremember shit like, is it Kool-Aid with a K? You know, remember that publisher sweepstakes bullshit? When did Mandela die? If someone said if you did this experiment, you'd break the world, you'd break it so bad that potentially you would trigger the end of the world, if someone told you this, would you turn it on? Would you do your experiment? And I can't answer that question. It really is a question of likelihoods. It really is. When they tested the first atom bombs, they were convinced that they would set fire to the atmosphere. And then when they started testing hydrogen bombs, they had the same concern. Oh my God, the power of the sun will blow up the oxygen. There'll be nothing left. And frankly, some of those concerns were valid, especially with the hydrogen bomb. The first test of the hydrogen bomb, they were off by over 100% in the predicted yield. And by the way, that was more or less a logarithmic difference. It wasn't linear. Okay, it was a logarithmic difference. It was a big enough difference that a lot of native Marshall Islanders who thought they were safe on their new island had to be moved again because fallout was coming and they were going to get poisoned and they were going to die of radiation sickness. But that was just a little bit of a, it was a boo-boo, a little mistake. And as I've mentioned in the past, a couple times during the Cold War, not once, but a couple times in secret, in the United States, near people who live in places, you know, in a rural community, near farmers, near ranchers specifically, twice in the 20th century, I believe, in the 60s and the 70s, the United States government used tactical nuclear weapons to frack for natural gas. Not once, not thinking to themselves the first time was kind of a polluted mess, and they had to come up with a pretend, oh no, who's cutting up those cattle? Who's doing the cattle mutilations? Who's cutting up the cattle? More or less the people wanting to figure out if your kids are going to, you know, get cancer. Not the aliens, not Bigfoot, not the Loch Ness Monster, but probably the same stupid motherfuckers that thought it was a good idea to frack for natural gas with, you know, a 5 or 10 kiloton nuclear weapon. Those people. They were cutting up the cattle, taking out the thyroid. I don't want to beat this dead horse, but once again, I'll say what Dr. Freckles said. We don't have to blow up the world to understand it. We can learn to understand the world without harming it. We don't actually have to go into the garden with a chainsaw and a flamethrower and grenades and blow it up in order to realize what the garden is. These are choices, and we should make better ones. But they're not things you can pass laws about, and as far as the government goes, they are the last people you want to look to for a sense of morality when it comes to science and what you should and shouldn't do. I don't care if it's Tuskegee. I don't care if it's fracking with nukes. I don't care if it's what we did to the Marshall Islanders. I've got a list of things to include testing biological weapons on Americans during the Cold War. If you're looking to the government to tell you where the line is with respect to science, you're looking at the wrong fucking people. Next topic. So, as you may or may not know, I've been binge watching Little House on the Prairie. You know, and this isn't necessarily good for me. So yeah, I've been binge watching Little House on the Prairie, and you know, this is the second time I've watched this series. I didn't watch it for really decades, since I was a little kid. And now I'm watching it again with this kind of diligence, I guess, really obsession, probably just wasting fucking time. Getting towards the end of my healing cycle with my left arm, and I gotta find a regular job, because I gotta pay rent. It's all changing. So I'm binge watching this Little House on the Prairie bullshit to sort of like pass the time, getting my resume ready to go, because hey, yeah. The thing about it though is that it's not just that the show itself is kind of preachy, it really is, but it doesn't really fit what I've experienced in my life. And this is why I gotta say, I prefer spaghetti westerns. Really do. I really prefer a good spaghetti western over any of the Little House. Not because I think that there are so many good moral lessons in a spaghetti western like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but rather it tells a more realistic story. And frankly, a story that's closer to even what I would call a biblical story. Because if you read your Bible, it's not clear-cut. You know, especially in the Old Testament, especially in terms of good versus bad, heroes versus the evildoers, it's not necessarily straightforward in every case. Sometimes it's just humans being humans and doing terrible things, and the Lord watches from above and shakes his head, I think. Sometimes it's just that. And I think spaghetti westerns capture that in a way that Little House on the Prairie does not. I don't want to spend too much time on this silly subject, but I thought I'd mention it. So I have been thinking a lot in recent weeks about not just prophecy and not just eschatology, which is really the study of how things end, in the case of Christianity, how the Christian epic ends, but I've been interested in looking at prophecy as well. And I've been thinking about how people treated each other, or how they treated each other since 2020, how we all treated each other. And one of the things that kind of occurred to me, especially today when I was out walking the dogs, is that if you wanted to prepare the world for the Antichrist, because again, it seems cartoonish that you can watch, you know, people have made movies. There are all kinds of movies going back a long ways, a whole bunch going back to the 70s, you know, about the rapture, about the Antichrist, about the tribulation, about end times. But even the best attempts that are made, and folks made great attempts, it still seems like a cartoon, and rightly so, because how can you capture this undefinable thing that you won't know is happening until it happens? Because that's what the Lord said too. You can have all the prophecy and you can have all the ideas in your head, but you're not going to know for sure until it happens. How do you capture that? So a lot of conversations about the end times tend to feel cartoonish, and people tend to get trapped in that. And I would just like to step away from that for a second and say this. If you wanted somebody to show up on the scene with billions of people ready to turn on each other, really, even if it's not everybody, it's enough people. What I saw in Seattle in 2020 and 2021 led me to believe that there are enough people ready right now for the Antichrist, that the Antichrist could show up. And everything since then, everything since March 2020, it feels like preparation. It feels like people are being readied to simply obey, and not simply obey, but to obey commands, to obey decisions that are inhumane, that are dehumanizing, that will put their neighbors at risk, that people are prepared to turn on their community. I don't think I could have come up with a better plan, and I don't think I have the mindset for it, but I don't think anybody could have come up with a better plan since 2020. If this is the, you know, we think about a fuzzy event, and it could be geological, it could be something related to the ecosystem, to the climate, it could be socioeconomic. But another kind of fuzzy event, one, because once again, the Lord said, you're not going to really know for sure. You're not going to know the date. You're not going to know the time. But could people with the resources, with the right kind of resources, could people who are powerful enough with enough money make a really good guess about the window? And I don't know. It's a tough question. And then the other thing is, what if Satan's helping them? If Satan's helping them, if he says, you know, the time is near, then maybe that was the help they got. Pull the trigger. Start the fear machine. Turn brother against brother, sister against sister. Turn a family against itself. Tear a community in two. Fill the world with lies. Fill the world with more deception. push all the oxygen out of the room and leave people barely, in a psychological sense, alive. And I would say mission fucking accomplished for the most part. You know, for all the onesie-twosies I hear about, I'm living out in the woods. I live in the middle of Canada. Well, good, you know, I would say good luck, schmuck. Because in terms of history, you will be as irrelevant, okay? Yeah, you're probably safe, like every other SOB throughout history that lived on the fringe of everything, you'll probably be fine. And if being a survivor is your whole purpose in life, good job. But for most people who live in cities, because in America, 80% of the people live either in an urban or semi-urban environment, for those people, they're experiencing this brutality day in and day out. They are lied to, they are abused, they are not just taken advantage of, but their money is stolen, and it's stolen in a myriad of ways. It's stolen via printing money, it's stolen via taxation, and it's stolen via the fact that this is a crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole, and corporate America is giving you less and less and less stuff for more and more worthless fucking money. The people that the Antichrist would depend upon to enable his rise, I think they're mostly ready. That doesn't mean it's coming or it will happen. I've said this in podcasts over the last 6 or 8 months, and I'll say it again. I'm more or less 50-50. Could it happen? Yeah. Does it seem like, based upon my limited knowledge of the Bible, that we have signs of the times? Yes. I think there are signs of the times. Does that mean it's going to happen? No. Because throughout history, there have probably been many times that have felt like this, to include the subject I bring up a lot, the 14th century. But there have been many times, many places where people felt like everything was over, this is done, there's no hope. And that's not to imply they're crazy or stupid, but from their perspective, it felt true. It did. It felt like the world had ended. So I guess we're going to find out pretty soon, maybe. I don't know. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles, but I'm going to drink a little coffee before I read it. I don't know, man. Not every catastrophe is the end of the world. Not every bad day is a bad week. Not every bad week Not every bad week is a bad month. Not every bad month is a bad year. And not every catastrophe is the end of the world. And it sounds silly, like a dumb thing to say, but it's more of a reminder. In the times we're living in, people might be inclined, well, a couple things. People might be inclined to listen to authorities. And brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a Christian like me. You don't have to see this through those lenses. But I will tell you, even if you're an atheist, there are many quote-unquote authorities today that are lying to you. They're deceiving you. I don't know the full truth. All I know is they're not telling you the truth. And so you're left with no information at all. And you're given things to be afraid of. Be afraid of the Ukraine. Be afraid of some type of drag queen story show for some stupid fucking reason. Be afraid they're going to take your guns away from you. Be afraid that the climate's going to explode, whatever the truth is there. Be afraid of the COVID monkey herpes is going to kill you. Be afraid of the vaccine. It's also going to kill you. Be afraid of the January 6 rebels. They're going to cause a civil war. Be afraid of Trump. He's dangerous. He's a criminal. Be afraid of Biden. He's crazy. Oh my God, he's insane. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Be afraid because tomorrow everything explodes. Well, number one, as I pointed out in the last couple of years, maybe especially, a lot of what's going on right now, by design, is bargaining for lesser catastrophes. You know, things you can manage in your head, like a pandemic, like a race war, like some cartoony January 6th event. You know, you can put this into your brain case and it can kind of make sense. And maybe out of that you can derive a happy ending. Which also to me indicates that whatever the truth is, at least in the short term, from their perspective, there is no happy ending. You know, and so, yeah, this bargaining for lesser catastrophes is kind of unhealthy. But I should also say this, not everything that is catastrophic is necessarily, you know, the end of the world or even bad. You know, catastrophe, in a lot of ways, is simply a mathematical thing. It's another name for a discontinuity. I remember back in 2019 doing that podcast, the Great Discontinuity. I could have called it the Great Catastrophe, but it would have been misleading and it would have gotten people sad. So better to call it something a bit more abstract and mathematical, but also true. A catastrophe is a discontinuity. You have two functions, f of x and g of x. And between them, you simply have an infinitesimal intersection within the domain. But that infinitesimal intersection might as well be the distance between here and the end of the universe, because these are two separate functions, and that transition isn't going to be smooth. There are going to be transitions that occur in our lifetime, in the next decade, that will be jarring, you know, as jarring as an earthquake, as jarring as a volcano, they'll be jarring. You know, in a sense, in a sociological sense, the earth is about to shake. And in a way that's going to be scary for a lot of people, and in a way that will lead people to believe, once again, that everything's over, but that's probably not the truth. Like I said, before I close out this podcast, I'm 50-50 on whether or not the end times are near. And I am. I'm honestly flip a coin, which, when you think about it, is a pretty high probability, but still, it's 50-50. I'm 50-50 with respect to that. I am nearly 100% certain that the dollar is toast. And the stronger it gets, the more likely it's toast, by the way. The idea that the strong dollar is an actual signal of strength, it's ironic, but a strong dollar at this point is bad. Just as really a weak dollar is. That's why there is no way out. There's no escape. Okay, we've already gotten all the juice. As far as hyperinflation goes, they managed to hide the hyperinflation under a bunch of fucking rugs named derivatives and crypto and other kinds of bullshit in China. They took the hyperinflation and they buried it. Whatever hyperinflation you expect to see, it already fucking happened. What happens next is not the hyperinflation, not the stagflation, and not the recession soft landing. What happens next is the Pontiac GTO going 120 miles per hour hits a brick wall. That's the best description I can give you, and it's going to be hard. And it also means that no number of wheelbarrows of money, you can have a million wheelbarrows filled with dollars if you could have such a thing, and it won't buy any bread because there just won't be any fucking bread. Does that mean it's the end of the world? If the dollar collapses, if it triggers a cascading failure of many financial systems, if we end up angering a big part of the world we made promises to, if we end up with troops overseas we can't afford to get home, is that the end of the world? If it triggers a world war, which I hope it doesn't, but let's say it does, is it the end of the world? And the answer is no. No, it's bad times, it's hard times. If you're an anarchist like myself, it's paranoid times, but it's life, it's time. It's time to be alive on Earth, and God bless. You want things boring? You can have them boring. But at least within the storm, there's possibility. Within the storm, within the chaos, within all that struggle, and all that danger are these emergent things that can change the world. And if people can respond in the right way, and it's hard to define for some people, I guess it's hard for me to explain to them. I feel like it should be simple. But if we could embrace liberty as a philosophy, as a principle, a free society, the free exchange of goods, the non-aggression principle, respecting each other, and solving problems without force. If we could embrace those ideas and carry those ideas and build communities around those ideas, then yeah, we're still going to have a shitstorm, but it's a shitstorm we can sail through. It's a shitstorm we can surf. And guess what? We can come out the other side stronger. And guess what? We could come out the other side with actual technology in the hands of a lot of people that today we can't even imagine. At least most of us can't. But it takes courage. And if we approach catastrophes, if we approach these scenarios with fear and anger and blame and government, then it might be it. That might be it, folks. Okay? You know, if you want to adopt a bad plan, if you want to adopt a bad strategy, you kind of have to accept the outcomes. And if we go down the road of force and fear and intimidation and closed society and police state, then I believe we're doomed. Absolutely doomed. And then it's just a question, are we doomed in the secular sense, or is this the beginning of the end times? It could mean one or the other. But if that's the road that people choose to go down, then yeah, what's going to happen next is going to be pretty fucking horrible. But if we can choose to be brave and free, if we can choose to actually live in a land of the free, in a home of the brave, if such a thing is possible, then maybe none of these things are going to be that bad. Yeah, they'll be tough. Yeah, we'll have to weather the storm. And yes, we might have to learn new skills and new ways to live. But if we can be free, we have a chance to live. Not every catastrophe is the end of the world, brothers and sisters. Sometimes that fire, even the one we set, is the fire in your seat, the fire that kicks you in the ass. Sometimes that bomb that goes off, even if it was just an accident, it's the noise that wakes up the people. Sometimes the storm that faces us, the storm that threatens to destroy us, is the storm that teaches us how to survive. Sometimes. For Sunday, Easter Sunday, April the 9th, 2023, it's almost 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Scompton time here in Utah. I hope you had a great Easter Sunday. I hope you had a happy Easter Sunday with your family. I hope you had a chance to enjoy yourselves. I do think we're in a brief intermission here. And why not go out into the lobby and get yourself a Coke and get yourself some popcorn? Because I think Act 3 starts pretty soon.